Good morning all. How are we doing? Man, how can you not get excited about numbers like that, eh? When we supersede everything that is required or asked of us, I think Jesus smiles hugely on that, eh? I really do believe that. And again, you are a generous people. So we just want to, you know, pat somebody next to you on the back and say, well done for being so generous. God loves the heart of a cheerful giver. So today I want to start a new series. It'll be a short one, but I want to start a new series. And this one is called, With Honor. Yeah. And I want us to look at the subject of honor. And it's more of a topical preach. Yet we will exegete some scripture, because that's good to preach out of the Bible and not just make it up as I go along, because we could get really messed up with that kind of stuff. So I want to start for today with discovering honor. And over the next couple of weeks, we need to look at different aspects of, well, who do we honor and how do we honor and all that kind of stuff. But today I just want to talk about discovering honor. And if I could be so bold and transparent, I hear that you like it when I'm transparent, and I let you know how weak I am and how messed up I really am, and that you start a video, get going, here we go. When I was preparing this, I have to keep going, and you know that when you prepare, the Holy Spirit says, and I'm just typing, and I go, I'm actually like that. That's not helpful. Do I delete that now and not tell the church that part? But no, we got to just go there. We got to be honest, right? Because sometimes I know, and I trust you will forgive me, and I'll get better at it if you get better at it with me. Not because, but with me, if we learn not to dishonor one another so easily. That was like a rumble in the crowd. Thank you. Here we go. I want to hear that stuff. There we go. And I looked at this and I thought, you know, the overall thought I want us to have with this whole series is this thought. And if you like to write it down, if you forget easily, or if you don't even write stuff down, write this one down. Honoring is to treat other people the same way you would treat Jesus. Ooh. Yeah. If Jesus came today and I said to you, he's sitting here with us today, how would you want to behave and treat others or treat him as he came in here this morning? Now we're going to get a lot lighter about it, but it's a deep subject. And so we have to understand that for the young people, this is like, honoring is like not on the diss scale. You know, hey, you dissed me, eh, bro? Because we hear that so often. There's like, you disrespect me, you dishonor me, and I wrote down a few disses. Hey, you dislike. People you dislike, we dishonor. People that disappoint you, or you disappoint them, or people you disrespect, or you disparage against, or you disregard. I know it's spelled differently, but despise, disagree with, disappoint, disapprove, and dishonor. We don't want to do that. We don't want to. So we're going to turn with me if you like, or anywhere else you like, but in the book of Malachi, we're going to look at a little bit of Old Testament. And I just want to say, we're going to look at Old Testament, but I want us to understand that some of the scripture I've got for you today, please don't go and go, ooh, we know that God doesn't punish us. God's not angry with us. He's not going to punish us, except, you know, Judgment Day. So he's not going to punish you today or tomorrow because of your behavior, because he sent his son Jesus. And he's, I even heard I don't know what I was watching. I heard something that said, yeah, but when I go and I ask for my sins to be forgiven, you go to the pastor and ask for your sins to be forgiven, the pastor takes on all your sin. And I'm going, what? No way, I don't want that job. I'm not taking any of your sin. Jesus took it all upon himself. That was the point of the cross. That's why Jesus went to the cross. And what we have from Jesus is his imputed righteousness to us. He took all our sin. He took all our pain. He took all our nonsense. And I'm thinking, wow. Okay, anyway, let's move on. Let's get to where I want to start off with. We want to read Malachi chapter 1. If this thing works for me. Okay, somebody in the back there change it for me. I don't know why. Batteries are good. Let me just check the batteries. There we go. So I just want to... Oh, there we go, okay. All right, just had a little glitch, you know, brain freeze here. Malachi 1:6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Funny we had the word this morning. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name, but you say, how have we despised your name? Now, Malachi's prophecy, and people tell you a whole bunch of stuff, but just listen to your pastor, came as a wake-up call, as a renewal of faith and worship and fidelity to the worship as God said it before them before, because they had become apathetic in their worship. And now we know worship is not just singing songs. We've said that enough times here. Worship is everything. This is worship. You listening is worship. Prophesying is worship. Fellowship together, drinking coffee is worship. Reading the God's word and praying is worship. Everything we do to the King is worship. So we understand that. We like to sing songs and we call them the worship team, but they're not the worship team. That's the worship team. They're the gifted musicians who lead us. Okay. Whoo, I'm losing myself completely, as you know. But you understand that God here is speaking first in a family relational context. A son honors his father and a servant his masters. Now we understand this was in Old Covenant, and in the Old Covenant there was a small group of people called the Levites who were called to do this, and they were who were called the priests. But New Testament, New Covenant, where we live, the new dispensation of the New Covenant, where we live, we are all priests. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. That's all of us. Turn to someone and say, I'm royalty, dude. Or dudette. Or person. God says, O priest who despise my name. What he also means in another NIV translation, I think it is, or whatever you might have, says, those that who show contempt for my name. So you know how bad they had got. And they were now working towards it. We understand that over time, moms and dads and children, listen. Generation over time have lost the art of respect. Some of the younger folk look at us and go, man, you're just old-fashioned. Praise God I'm old-fashioned. I think it's still important to stand up when a woman comes in a room. Thank you. Come on, ladies. This is your chance. I think it's important for a man to hold the door open for a lady to go first. You know, in these days, sometimes you do that and the lady just walks past like she's entitled. Here you go. Should. You know, and sometimes when they do that to me, because you know, I'm telling you how I'm messed up. When they don't say thank you, I say thank you. It's like, all I should do is just shut up. You can edit that out if you like or not. I should just be quiet. That's the nicer way to say it in church. Car door. Open the car door. Anything else you want to suggest? Open the car door for them. Cook for them. Yeah, not in my house. I'm trying. But when my mom asked me to do something, young guys, ladies, kids, children, when my mom asked me to do something, it was not later or ignore her. Or just now. It was, while I'm on my way walking towards her, Mom, what can I do for you? Because if I didn't, I could receive the blessing of my father. I know this is brutal. I grew up with parents that were disciplinarians. If I back-chatted my mom, I should be prepared to eat jelly for a week. I know, I'll get into trouble with CIA. Where's she? Louise. Hello, Louise. If Louise back-chatted her mom, nothing. She tried it once. Yeah, she tried it once. Once was enough. Always be polite. Always say please and thank you. Children, answer an adult. It's sad that I have to even say this. Answer an adult when they speak to you. Greet them. Yeah. Honor our government. I know, now we're getting quieter. Honor our flag. I have two flags that I honor. Because I'm a Canadian citizen does not mean I don't honor my South African flag. I still honor my flag. I bled and I fought and didn't die for it, but I did. There we go. Anyway, moving on. Let's move on. Let's go over to Malachi chapter 2. Gets a little bit more interesting now. And he says there, "And now, O priests, this command is for you." So now remember I spoke about Old Testament. Let's just bring it into New Testament. This is for you. Don't dial out and go, "Oh, that was just for the Levites." "If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, yes, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you do not lay hold, do not lay it to heart," or set your heart in it is a better way of saying it. "Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your face." God speaking to his people. But we have to understand the context of it, and I don't have time. Let me just say this one before you get all too freaked out. What they were talking about, the dung of your offering, they were talking about that part when they had burnt all the offering, that was all left off. He said, "I'm going to rub this on top of you because you're so disrespectful and you dishonor my name so much." That's what he was saying. Okay. Wow, I didn't know that's heavy duty. I'm telling you, the Bible is the best book to read. It's got everything in it. Romance. Anyway, wars for the guys. Come on, work with me. "You shall be taken away with wrath. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name." So now, we're not going to go into all the parts of it, but I want to understand that what I want us to take away from this piece of scripture is, if you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor. Now we know that God's not going to punish us. He's not going to not bless us, because he is a God of blessing. And the point I'm making is that we're just having a look at it from an Old Testament in bringing it into a New Testament view, where God sent his son Jesus to take away all our curses. And we don't read Deuteronomy like they used to do. If you do this, then you'll be blessed. And if you do that, you'll be cursed. No. That doesn't apply, because we're in New Covenant, okay? And I know that's for a whole new sermon series. But just believe me, I'm your pastor. And there we go. Okay. What I want us to talk about is, remember that out of that thing, there's two words we have to understand that are biblical, that go through Genesis to Revelation. It is everywhere in the Bible. And there's two words are obedience and submission. Now, Mark, we don't like this already now. It's not an obedience because I have to. It's not based on my feelings or my attitude or my views or my opinion or my mood. It's because God uses this word as an imperative. If you love me, you will obey me. Not if you think it's okay, if you're in the mood for it. You know, He is a God of order. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the captain of our host. He is the everything that we sung about this morning. He is our master, as Louise brought prophetically. He is our master, the one that we submit to. This is, if you're in the kingdom, this is not like an option. We are the family. We're not orphans. We're in this family of God. And so we live according to it. The second word is submission, as I've said, but it's often not used as a great translation in English, as I expounded on when we did the series on marriage matters, and we can get a little bit hung up about it. But again, it's not based on my feelings or my attitude or my view or my opinion. It's a choice. It is my heart's, the meaning of it scripturally is it is my heart's desire to honor you and submit to your authority. That's what the Bible says. Submit to your leaders so that it may go well with you. Do not make their life difficult. Hebrews 13:17. Don't make their life a misery. Don't make it difficult for them. Thanks, John. And then he goes on and he says that we should have a delight to submit to authority. When I submit, because Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So when I submit to my wife, I submit to her out of reverence for Christ. When she submits to me, and we did the whole hupotasso, we did the whole connection and not abdicating our roles, but we have to understand it. And he says, take it to heart to give honor to my name. I'm giving you, bringing honor, and what honor also means scripturally is to bring glory to my name. That we might glorify the name of the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That when we honor and submit and obey, we bring delight to our Father's heart. So the question then is, well, what does honor mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. In the Hebrew, there's a word called kabad, kaveh, depends how you pronounce your Hebrew. And then it's not spelt like it's not said like it's spelt. It's more kabay than kabad. So tamay is Greek, and it says to value, to hold dear to have worth, to add weight to be considered weighty. It's a weighty matter when we say honor, to value and to hold it. And the point of that is like if you're traveling along the road in the car and there's a big rock in the road, just work with me poetically here as well. You give honor to the rock. You don't take your car and think, well, I'm just going to drive right through this thing. Because your car's going to get hurt. And you're going to get hurt. So you think about how best can, this is a weighty matter, how can I navigate this thing around and give honor to this thing and move on in peace and love and faith and all those other good things. Of course, then the opposite would be to dishonor, which means directly, it means to take things lightly. When you take things and disregard people, and all those disses I spoke about earlier, we means that we disregard things. But our society has become so able to easily dishonor and treat things lightly, without much regard. So, while someone is speaking to you, I'm sorry, I'm going to say this. Because I've done it, so I'm guilty. When Dom and I are having a conversation, I'm going to use Kevin now because I can. And Kevin comes up and he says, hey Dom, nice shirt. And Dom says, oh, thank you very much. And I'm like, I'm standing there like chopped liver. It's rude. But we think it's okay to do that. And so what I used to do sometimes, I used to just go and say, okay, when you're ready to talk to me, I'll come back to you. Okay. Like, really? It was like, I treat you lightly. I have little regard with what you've got to say. Because he came and told me what a nice shirt I'm wearing, and so he's like more highly favored right now. I know it's just me that does that. None of you do that, right? Okay, all right. Now I can see you don't, or you just don't want to say yeah, and that's me. Or when you're speaking and someone and you're going like, whoa, I just got a text from someone. Yeah? Yeah? Well, the kids, they got Game Boy or whatever it is. Xbox, I don't know. How are you doing? What's happening? Where's your mom? Where's your dad? I know you're very quiet because you know it's the truth, eh? Yeah, you can say, okay. It's okay to be okay. This is family. We can say that stuff. We dishonor the poor, and when we dishonor the poor, we dishonor God. And I know we're just giving great examples of how we're doing so well in that area with the Scott Mission and with the Operation Christmas thing. I mean, just again, blown away. When Louise came home and she told me 494 boxes, I was like, are you sure? Did you count them properly? Well done. Would we behave the same way if Jesus was visiting and we were talking to Jesus? Remember what I said right in the beginning? Treat everybody like you would treat Jesus. Dishonor has become so much a part of our society, we've become so good at it. And we have to even talk about it. My heart is that we would be a community that would live, breathe, speak, and ooze honor. That people would come in here and they would say, first of all, the Spirit of God's in this place. Jesus is exalted in this place. And then not that there were a great bunch of people, but man, those people honor. They honor one another. Wouldn't that be a good thing for us to be said of us? He asks through the prophet Malachi, where is my honor? Flip over with me to the book of Mark, please. Mark chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Mark chapter 6. There it is. I'll just read it through quickly and then we're going to make some comments. He went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, not the one who betrayed him? And not are his sisters here with us? Aren't they part of our church? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. So we just have a look at this, and you see that here he arrives in his hometown, and it starts off with saying he came there and arrived in his hometown, and his disciples followed him on the Sabbath day, began to, and then they start talking about what he was doing there. And I know when we read it something, we do it as like they were saying this in awe, and wow, where did he get these things? That's not what they were doing. Their attitude, if I could use a colloquial English word, their attitude sucked. We know what that means? And they were going, where did he get these things? This is what they were saying, and I'll explain that. Where do you get these things? What is he saying? What makes him so special? How do you understand? And this wisdom. Where do you get this wisdom from? Who does he think he is? And what is the third thing? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Well, they hadn't seen anything, but they'd obviously heard about it. Because later on, and then, well, then they go on and say, isn't he the carpenter? Isn't this Jesus who was the carpenter? Isn't he just one of those, like, common laborers here amongst us? He's just one of us. And his brother, we know his family. I mean, it's not a great family. You know the history of his family. His mother was pregnant. Wasn't really married to the father yet. We have to look at it all. And then there says a very thing which most of us would just miss us by. Is this not Mary's son? Now, in Hebrew culture, you would not ever refer to the son being the son of the mother. You would say, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this Joseph's son? So that's how much disregard how much they disrespected and dishonored him, that they even said, isn't this Mary's son? Forget Joseph. Well, we know what, you know, he was also just one of the carpenters, but, you know, isn't this Mary's son? And we show that they deal with him lightly, and then they go on and talk about his family, and they know his, and then it says, and that's why we understand the attitude of their heart, and they took offense at him. They're offended. Now, Jesus would have been invited into the synagogue to preach. He wouldn't have just arrived and like, hey, I'm Jesus, I'm preaching today. He would have been invited to come in and to minister and to read from the Torah. And it would have said to explain what was going on. I mean, they were just like totally offended. Here, if we can understand it, Jesus, God, incarnation, was amongst them. And they're going, who's this guy? And the point I want to get to is their attitude, their lack of faith, their lack of belief limited what Jesus was doing amongst them. Didn't limit his powers because he was Jesus. He had all the power he had, but he limited what he could do then, because it goes on and it says from the scriptures, and he could do no mighty work there except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. When he was in a familiar place, remember we went back and we said family, it starts in family. It starts off in Malachi. If I'm a father and you're my son, where's my honor? If I'm a master and you're the servant, where's my honor? And here we get in the New Testament and we're standing here and God is going, in my family place, in my hometown, in Pickering, in my relatives around me, and in my own family, there's no honor here for me. The opposite would be true if they elevated and honored Jesus. They would be seeing mighty miracles, is what it says on. So the question I want to ask us and look at again is, what causes dishonor? I'm so glad you asked. Because the first one is familiarity causes dishonor. Anything that we are close to, you know, you've heard the expression of familiarity breeds contempt. Now we know there comes... You can say, well, do they get that from the Bible? But from Aesop's fables with the lion and the fox. And the story is that the lion and the fox has high regard for him, but familiarity breeds contempt. And he walks right up to the lion one day and says, how's your family doing? Check me out. Quickly, he'd be dead. But familiarity breeds contempt. He had lost the honor for the king of the jungle per se. So the root word of familiarity is family. And here in Nazareth, their familiarity deprived them of further teachings from Jesus. Deprived them of the full impact of what he had come to do there. The fullness of the blessing that was theirs. Husbands and wives, moms and dads, parents and children, I'm saying to us this morning, I'm including myself in this, this is not you, you better shape up or ship out, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm calling us to honor and respond in honor to one another. Wouldn't we want to see when we get together as a family, and I believe it is possible, so don't think I don't believe in. We've heard it before. We've heard angels singing here. Who would like to hear angels singing with us? Who would like to see when we say, who's sick here, raise your hand. And we raise your hand and you're healed automatically. Without anyone laying hands on you, praising you. That's what I'm talking about, mighty works. And we want to hear the voice of Jesus. We want to hear him speak to us. People have epiphanies. Times together where they just, wow. What did he sing? He unravels me with a melody of his song. No pushback or back chat. Kids, I challenge you, surprise your parents. In our house, as I said before, in our growing up in our house, there was no later mom or when I feel like it. I know I'm really old-fashioned. And we used to, living in South Africa as young people, to go watch movies, and parents would go up and knock on their kids' door so they can go in, and the kid's like 12, and ask. I'm going, hey, mom and dad, did we miss something here? Now, my boy, why are you living under my house? These are my rules. Yes, Dad. Let's be a people with no familiarity. Because the second thing, let's be a family with no dishonor. So we can all respect. The second thing is offenses cause dishonor. Mark 6:3, and they took offense at him. Offense is the word scandalize, scandalon. And we get the word, English word from it, scandalous. That's where the root word of it is. You take an offense, it's scandalous. And there's a whole thing, which do you know when we were kids, or some of us, used to take little like rocks or boxes and then put a little stick and then a string along and put food inside and wait for the birdie or the little mouse or whatever to come inside, then you pull the string and trap, and then you've trapped it? That's what a scandalon is. It means you are trapped by this thing. So when you're offended, you are trapped by this thing. It's a scandalous thing. And the best thing we can do is be free of that. We've got to stand. If you're offended by government, you won't honor the government. If you can't honor something that offends you. And the point is, you don't have to always agree with the government or agree with everybody, but honor and respect and disagreement can live in the same house. I know, because you don't all agree with everything that our government does. And I can see on Facebook, you certainly don't agree with what's going on in America. I mean, I'm not heavily politically drawn, but what amused me the most was with the protesters down there in the one city. They arrested them, and there were 100 of them that they arrested, who were protesting that Hillary didn't win and Donald did. And then they quickly took all their names down and found that 77% of them who were protesting the loss hadn't even voted. Paddy always says, you can't fix stupid. Yeah. Anyway, back to where we are. If you're offended by where we are, Romans 13:1 says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. NIV, that's what it says to us. When we are offended by others, we will treat them differently. And I want to encourage you, and I've said this before, the greatest, largest church growing in North America is probably the Church of the Offended. We can be disagreeable and respectful at the same time. I have to chuck my brains away at the door, but, you know, we can disagree. Agree, you know, we all say, well, I'll just disagree to agree with you. But as long as we're doing it in love, as long as we're going, I hear what you say, and that's a valid point, but this is how I see it. You know, you don't argue just for the sake of arguing. Bible says, children, obey your parents. And then it goes on and says, children, honor your mother and father. Not if they were great parents. Now, I understand that some people just did not have great parents. That's okay. It doesn't say you get away with dishonoring them. Bridget will tell you, she grew up, she didn't know her father. And he was actually quite a scandalon. But there came a point in her life where she actually had to, although he had gone on ahead, she had to actually go down and pray to the father and say, Lord, I release him and I forgive him for the stuff that he did and the way he behaved. She's free. It made no difference to him. He's passed on. It made no difference to him. But she honored her father. My dad for many, many years was just an absent father. But I love him. Well, loved him. I still love him, of course. He's with Jesus at the moment. Waiting. Oh, yeah. We're stuck with this thing. Give it to the level of respect, but don't take it lightly because it is a weighty matter. So we wonder, how do we discover what we should honor? We'll be done very quickly. We honor because of God's claim on people. Think about that one. We assess situations, then we decide on what and who deserves our honor. Right? That's not kingdom. The assessment process has nothing to do with you. It's how God views his people. And I know some Christian will go, well, we're saved, so therefore we're the chosen ones, and those that are unsaved, they're not God's. No, they are God's children, they just don't know it yet. They have not just stepped out of the darkness of light into his glorious kingdom. They are still his children. And that we still need to talk about it and trust and honor God about it. We honor because of his view of them. His view is that you're the apple of my eye. His view is I love you. His view is I created you. His view is I sent my son to die on a cross for you. That's his view. And we go, yeah, well, I don't like the way he spoke to me. Or she spoke to me. Are we doing okay? Good. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. That's a hard one, eh? When we look down on people, when we go, yeah, well, I'm better than they are. In whose eyes? Who said? You? You know that self-promotion and self-edification is no edification at all? God's view, they're his children, acknowledge it. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Already quoted that. Ephesians, where am I? Submit, how? Out of reverence to Christ. Matthew 5:25-40, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to the one at least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Talking about in Matthew. And we go, no, he's talking about the poor. No, he's not. The poor are included, but what he's actually talking about is the disciples. Those that are his disciples. Because you can go back and if you study it, you'll see. Because we can't just take little pieces of scripture and say, well, this is what it means. We look at the whole context of it. And if you look further back in the book of Matthew, you will see when he sends his disciples out and sends them out by 12 and when he talks to them. And he says, when you go, don't take a cloak with you. And when you go, don't take money bags with you. And don't take an extra this with you. And don't do this. And then later on, going back to the Luke account, he says, couple of chapters later, he says, okay, now that you're going, take a sword with you. Take some money with you. Take an extra coat in case you need it. Go to a house where they will just, wherever they offer the food, sit down and eat it. And so the point is that we just got to rely on him. Be reliant on him as our king. So when we honor each other, we honor because of God's claim on people. Secondly, don't run ahead on this one. Honoring benefits you. Oh yeah, if I just honor someone, then I'm going to get a reward. And if I give all my money and I do my tithes, then God's going to bless me. And I give it because I want something from it. Right? No, that's not a good idea. That's a bad idea. That's like you just bluffing yourself. That's not how God works. He's going to bless you and he's going to honor you, but he honors you when you honor him, not because of. Remember we went back and we said obedience and submission. My heart is to do this. I have a willingness to be obedient. I have a willingness to submit. So when we honor, it will benefit us. It's a biblical principle. Remember Mark 6, the wrong attitude of their hearts brought a limitation of the ministry. When we come and we have a great heart attitude and I don't come to church because I have to. I don't come to the prayer meeting because I have to. I come because I want to. I want to get together with my brothers and sisters. I want to fellowship and see the King high and lifted up. I want to be there when the trumpet sounds and I want to be there when the cloud comes down. I know you're all thinking, oh, that's weird. No, it's not. 1 Chronicles 25:29. The priests couldn't minister because of the presence of God. Isn't that what we'd like? The presence of God's so thick here. The musos are just like, whoa. If Karen was here, she'd be going, whoa. Seeing I've mentioned her name, let me just tell you, she's not a flaky lady, that. We've watched her for many, many years. She tunes into God. Where am I? Thank you. Ephesians 6:2. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. I love the way the Bible just adds a little piece, just so that we know. That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. It's a promise. You know, there are so many scriptures with promise and offer and promise, as it were. If you do this, this will happen. If you do that, this will happen. This is one of those. The first commandment with the promise. Paul is using an old covenant thing to bring it into the new covenant to validate it as a biblical principle. And we honor, it'll benefit us. People will be nicer to you when you are nice to them. Said in a just straight off way. Last one. Honoring is decided, not deserved. Now we really, you know, well, you know, I want to say this to the elders and the leaders in the church especially. That is a lie that has been subscribed to. When God calls us to authority here, and then we go, someone's not behaving well, and then we go, well, should we talk to them? Well, we haven't built a bridge with them of relationship yet. Well, where are you going to do that? No, no. The Bible doesn't say that. Bible says that we are the shepherds who should take care of the sheep. You watch a sheep fall down and break his leg and go, yeah, you know, that one, I like all these ones. I built a relationship with these. That one, I really haven't got a relationship with him. It's an upside down thinking. I'm just putting it out there for you. What we decide in our hearts, people show disrespect and dishonor often because they don't show honor to themselves. Remember, honor is not based on your assessment and ideals. It's based on God's view of others. Treat others as you would treat Jesus. Decide to honor others, which we're going to look at next week. Here's the honor test. When you don't feel like it, when you don't feel they deserve it, when you feel, yeah, it's just, I'm scratchy, be like Nike. Just do it. God will honor and bless you. 1 Peter 2:13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. In some translations says, put to silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil. Well, we can just do what we like now. We're not under law, we're under grace. I can just be a clown and do what I want. No. But living as servants of God, honor everyone. Okay? Honor everyone. No, but you don't understand. That person's really ugly to me. Honor everyone. Hey, listen, man. I'm on this journey too. If you probably can say most things about me, but when you disrespect and dishonor my wife and my child, man, those old years of mine come back into my head. Jesus, no, Jesus, no, Jesus. Please don't let me do this, Jesus. Just shut my mouth. Honor everyone. I'm playing through a book at the moment, and I encourage you, you know, I don't often tell you to go and read books. It's a book by Danny Silk called A Culture of Honor. I read it a long time ago, but I'm reading through it again. He's got all the right words and puts them down correctly, how we help us, you know. I'm just saying. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. So modern day we'd say, honor everyone, that doesn't change, love the brotherhood, / sisterhood, fear God with a reverent fear, not like, ooh, afraid of God. Honor the president, or the prime minister, sorry. Honor your prime minister. Even when he says silly stuff. Because you're going to say some silly stuff. Be a people of honor. To be known as a people of honor who honor one another. Can we just take a moment and just honor this moment right now? Can I ask you to stand, please? Remember, honor is a weighty matter. Let's pray this prayer while you're standing right there. Just close your eyes. Don't worry about people around you. Say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me right now? Where have I shown dishonor? To whom have I dishonored and disrespected? Speak into my life this morning, Holy Spirit. Just allow Him to minister to you right now. As you ask the question, wait, let's pause for a moment. Selah, pause. Let Him respond. Give Him time to respond. Father, we love you, Lord. We are so grateful, Lord God, for that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. And Jesus, while the prophet Malachi was tasked to bring back a fidelity of worship to the nation of Israel, Father, let it never be said of us that we become apathetic in our worship of you, Lord. God, that you would never need to ask us, where is my honor? Father, we honor you, Lord. We lift up your name, Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you speak into our lives? We love you, we honor you, Lord. You are mighty God, Lord. Father, as we started off this morning, Lord God, with praying into your word, honoring your word. Dom had no idea what I was going to preach on today. But Holy Spirit, you are speaking to us, Lord. So would you speak into our lives today, Lord? Give us the boldness to make right where we've been wrong. Lord, would you break into our lives? Break down the lies of the enemy. Change our paradigms and our mindsets, Lord. Thank you for your blessings upon us, Lord. Thank you, God, that you're a good, good, good Father. Bless us, Lord God. Let your face shine upon us as we go today. Let our hearts be filled with obedience and submission to you and to those that you've called us to be obedient and submissive to. And God, let honor be on our lips. Let us see others through your eyes, Jesus. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.